Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today. All right, so as we march into this series called Am I Doing This Right? I just want to tell you, oh, by the way, you can, yeah, go for it. You can see it. Thank you so much. You can see it. If he does that, I won't be able to do the comedy bits because that will take me into a very deep, meaningful and weeping place, which won't be good for anybody. So we're doing this series on Am I Doing This Right? And as a melancholic, I don't know how many of you in the room would class yourselves as a melancholic, but I'm certainly one. I'm constantly asking this question of myself. 24/7, 365 days a year. Am I doing this right? And it's so wonderful that the Lord has provided this incredible book called the Book of Proverbs to lead and guide us into not just doing things right. I mean, Alex said brilliantly last week that the Proverbs and the wisdom in the Book of Proverbs are not just about rules and regulations. They're actually an invitation to do life better. Isn't that awesome? They are not a book that you have to, you know, sometimes as I read the book of Proverbs, I'm reading it and I just get more and more depressed and I just, like, it's like, I won't do it, what I did in the 8:30 service, actually lay prostrate on the floor. I have to be careful with that word. But it can be intimidating when you read these Proverbs, but it's this beautiful invitation from the Lord for us to do life well. You know, as we've been seeing over the last week or so with the Queen's death, a lot of commentators have said, you know, here is a woman who lived life well. I would love it to be said of me that in all areas of my life, I lived life well. Is anyone with me? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing at the end of your days to say, I lived life well in my relationships, I lived life well in my finances, and I yielded myself to the wisdom of God. See, his wisdom is not our wisdom or understanding. It's much, much higher than us. His wisdom is far beyond us. And as we yield to the wisdom of God, what we're saying is, I trust you because you know better. It's kind of like sometimes we read the book of Proverbs like a teenager. Oh, don't tell me that, Lord. I don't want to know that. Let me just try it my own way. But I'm telling you, as we yield ourselves to the guidance of this beautiful book, you will find success will come in every area of your life. It's a promise. And before I go on, I just want to say hey to the Zoomers today, because for the first time today, we have people on Zoom from all over SYD. So can we give them a welcome this morning? This is the first of a new setup with our Zoom. So welcome, guys. We're so glad to have you with us. But I'm just going to read you a scripture out by way of introduction to the book of Proverbs. And today we're actually talking specifically about using wisdom in relationships. So let me read you this. It's from Proverbs 3:13 in the New King James Version. It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, which I found out is quite a rare stone. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. What an incredible scripture. The thing that struck me most about that scripture was right in the middle, where it says, all things cannot compare with her. All the things that I may desire cannot compare with wisdom. All the things. all the things. No matter how you say it, it's still all the things. We cannot desire anything more precious than the beautiful wisdom of God. Has anyone ever asked you that question, that famous question, which is, if you were to ask three people to sit down and have dinner with you, three famous people, who would they be? They can be living or they could have passed away, and there's no limits to that question. Who would you want sitting at your table? And most of us would go, okay, well, probably someone who's made a huge impact on the planet, like maybe Nelson Mandela or, Albert Einstein or someone, you know, my generation, Bono. It was always, that was always the answer. I would just like, I want to have dinner with Bono. And, you know, and then it moves on to Oprah. And then all these different people that we could have dinner with. Maybe if you're very spiritual, you might say the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. But then you would realise they're one person. So you'd have to rethink that answer. So this scripture seems to suggest that if you were to have dinner, of all the people you could invite to your table, wisdom, Lady Wisdom, would be the one worth sitting down with and asking questions of and pondering with. If we didn't invite Lady Wisdom, we would be an absolute fool. That's what this scripture is saying. You know, my three after this week, I'll tell you my three. Number one, my husband Glenn, the handsomest man in the world. I have to say that. Well, I have to say that I'd have you at dinner. But also he cooks a really good barbecue. So that's why I'm inviting you to that dinner, babe, for your cooking skills. Of course, Lady Wisdom. I would invite Lady Wisdom. And lastly, I would invite that French referee from the Wallabies All Blacks game. Just so we could have a little chat. Yes. Little chat. So if Oprah, Bono or Nelson Mandela came to my door, I would have to politely decline because Lady Wisdom is going to come in and have dinner with me. It's that we must value wisdom so highly that we say no to other things that we might value. People spend thousands of dollars travelling around the world, reading self-help books, going to therapy, you know, all to find peace, prosperity and a long life. And it's all here in the book of Proverbs. How awesome that we have this incredible resource at our fingertips. And it is an invitation for us. You know, Proverbs, again, are not rules, laws, but they're an opportunity to say yes to living life well. They're an invitation to avoid unnecessary pain. I love that. To be successful in the whole of our life. And it is a choice to yield. You know, yielding to the wisdom of God takes humility and reverence. It means that I'm saying, Lord, because you created the universe and you know how everything works, I'm going to submit my tiny puny brain and my will to your knowledge of all things and your goodness in all things. It's an invitation, friends. And this week we're going to talk about wisdom in relationships. And you know, wisdom in relationships is so important because relationships are precious and worthy of our care and attention. They're wonderful. They're complex. They're an opportunity for strife. They're, and you know, a minefield of conflict sometimes and misunderstanding. But they're also an opportunity to apply beautiful wisdom and, you know, be successful in our relationships. And, you know, relationships span so many different areas of our life. There is a diversity of relationships, aren't there? You know, there's fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, brothers and sisters, mums, dads, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews, colleagues, friends. The diversity of relationships, grandparents, bosses, employees, sister-in-laws, brother-in-laws, mother and father-in-laws. At least one of those types of relationships has probably struck fear in you today. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. And there are hundreds of proverbs that instruct us in wisdom in relationships. And so we're going to look at three different areas where we can be wise in relationships. You ready? Number one, choosing friends wisely. Number two, we're going to look at choosing words wisely. And number three, we're going to look at handling emotions wisely. So number one, choosing friends wisely. In Proverbs 27 verse 17, it says, people learn from each other, just as iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 22 verses 24 to 25 says, don't make friends with people who have hot, violent tempers. You might learn their habits and not be able to change. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. And Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. There's this thing called the transference of character that's being outlined in some of these proverbs. And you know, the transference of character speaks of the fact that whoever we hang out with, we will become like. When I was 5 years old, I fell into the wrong crowd. Pause for effect. Five. Well, she was actually just one person, to be technical. Her name was Emma, and underneath those pigtails and that lovely grin was pure evil. And I was in her class at St. Ives Kindergarten, and we became really good friends. And one day at recess, which is morning tea, she decided that it would be a great idea to go to that little room that's next to the classroom where all the bags are hooked up around the room, and we would go and begin to test out the lunches and the drinks of everybody else in our class. Five, we were. And I thought, it feels wrong, but she's my only friend, so I'm going to go ahead with it. And so we proceeded around this room and we took things out of people's bags, lemonade, glug, 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 sandwiches, munch, munch, put half of it back in. And I realised later that this poor girl probably wasn't being fed properly. But no matter why we did it, it wasn't enough for Emma. She wanted more. And so she convinced me that we would then go and we would climb to the top of the cupboard in our five-year kindergarten classroom, and we would get our hands in the lolly jar and we would pull out the lollies and we would eat them, or we would take them home. I remember taking all these lollies home and hiding them on the bus and then putting them under my pillow at night, and I was like sleeping on my sin. I couldn't sleep. I remember this tiny five-year-old conscience just burning within me as the Mars bar melted into the mattress. And then we moved on from those petty crimes and we started to steal chalk. I don't know why we were stealing chalk, but we started to steal other things. And it went on and on until one day we got caught and it was not a good day. But listen, the point is my purity was being corrupted by someone else's evil character. And I became a person that stole. Terrible. It became part of my character. And it's true, no matter what age we are, the people we hang out with, the people we choose to walk through life with, the transference of character will happen. Sometimes it's just in little things like speech and speech patterns and behaviours. You know, I have a South African husband and I say yah, yah, yah a lot now. And I say, oh, shame, man. And lots of other phrases that make no sense. I don't even think before I say them because they're just part of who I am, because I'm hanging out with him 24/7. You know, what about complaining people? Eeyore is their spirit animal. It, you know, it gets on you, doesn't it? It gets on you. And in a positive sense as well, you know, if you hang around with people who are wise and kind and patient and hardworking, that rubs off on you too. So choose friends wisely. Character is catching. You know, we all know how to self-isolate and social distance, but can I challenge you today? Maybe some of the people whose character is rubbing off on you, maybe there's a bit of social distance that needs to happen there. It's okay to make decisions about who you walk with in life. This is great for young people. You don't have to just go with the crowd. You can choose who you hang out with. We don't get to control everything in life, do we? But we do get to make decisions about who our friends are. So that's the first thing that Proverbs teaches us, is to choose friends wisely. Number two is choosing our words wisely. In Proverbs 12:18, it says that thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap its consequences. Proverbs 10:19 says the more you talk, the more likely you are to sin. If you're wise, you'll keep quiet. It's strong language. It's strong. These scriptures reveal to us that in our mouth we have this tiny little thing called our tongue that can cause destruction or bring blessing. And it's tiny. You know, a great metaphor for this is a rudder in a ship. A rudder in a ship is about 2% of the ship's mass. But yet if you turn that thing, if there's any sailors out there, you will direct that ship's course in a completely different direction. Our tongue is powerful. It's a small muscle, but it has huge consequences. You know, my car at the moment, going to get a new car sometime, but my car at the moment looks like it's been in the demolition derby. It has dents, scratches, things falling off it that should be attached. It's not in a good state. And so the other day I was backing into our driveway and I didn't even see the garbage bin behind my car, and I smacked into it and it fell down on the ground. And Glenn comes out and he gets the garbage bin. He said, "You just hit the garbage bin." And I think I yelled out of the car, "I think this is right, babe." I said, "I don't even care." Because it might have caused my car damage, but I no longer value my car enough to care. I'm careless with my car. I'm not a careless driver, but I'm careless with my car. Not when I first bought it, but over time we become careless with things. Sometimes our relationships are like that. We become careless with our words because we no longer value our precious relationships. This is what Proverbs is telling us. Value your relationships. Be careful with your words. Some of us don't filter our words because we've become careless and we don't see the value of the connections that we have around us. I think we choose our clothes more carefully than we choose our words some days, right? But if we knew our words were a matter of life or death, we would think differently. Proverbs 10:19 talks about the consequences of many words. It's not wise to be too quick to share an opinion. And I'm going to be open and honest here because I'm a bit of a talker. I don't talk all day, but when I do get on a topic that I'm passionate about, I'm gone. I go, "Poor Glenn." Poor Glenn. But a lot of the time, my talking is unfounded, unresearched, arrogant dribble. And I'm trying to practice this sentence in my world that I don't have enough information to yet form an opinion on that. That's a good sentence to practice, church. I don't yet have enough information to form an opinion on that. You know, foolish people give voice to everything they're thinking. You can see it all over the internet, especially social media. Lots of talk, not a lot of wisdom. And can I say, be careful what you post, because in 2 years' time, you may think completely differently about that thing you were pretty sure of in that moment you posted. I know this is challenging, but this is the book of Proverbs. It challenges us. We need to let time temper our words and our opinions. Let's not be too quick to speak. So what does that mean for us? Sometimes to protect your relationships, you've got to just say less. You know, you get in those situations, those conversations where you've got a lot going on down here and it starts to boil up, and sometimes you just have to like put your hand over your mouth to stop from saying the thing that you know is going to cause hurt and harm. Even if it's true, shush. I tell that to myself all the time, just shush. It's worth it. It protects our relationships. And there is a time to speak and there is a time to be silent. I know that for sure. But what an opportunity to encourage and to love one another with our words. We can use our mouth as a weapon, or we can use it to destroy. Proverbs 16:24 is beautiful. It says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the taste and good for health. Some practical tips. You want to hear some practical tips, okay? Slow down in your responses and reactions. This is probably one of the biggest things I have to learn, is because I'm very quick to respond and very quick to react, and I need to slow down. One of the things we need to learn to do is not interrupt people. Oh my goodness, has that become a problem in daily life in the 21st century? Nobody can finish a sentence because we're in there trying to match and to try and give our opinion, and we get so worked up. We have to speak right now. No, you can wait. You can slow down. If you're not sure what to say, don't say anything. If you think you're going to lose control of that tongue, bridle it. We need to learn wisdom in the use of our words, and it's for our relationship's sake. It's so important. Number three, handle emotions wisely. Our ability to handle our emotions affects our relationships. You know, the most often talked about emotion in the book of Proverbs is probably anger. As you leaf through the book of Proverbs, you'll see a lot of wisdom on how to deal with anger. And there's good reason for it. And here are three things that the book of Proverbs says about anger. It says, people with understanding control their anger, and a hot temper shows great foolishness. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. And Proverbs 29:11, lastly, it says, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Notice it doesn't say in Proverbs 14:29 that people with understanding never experience anger. It says people with understanding learn to control their anger. But I'm telling you, it's hard to control some days. But anger is actually a God-given emotion. You may have been on the other end of anger, misplaced anger, or ungodly anger, or someone who hasn't learned to control their anger. So you may see it differently. But I'm telling you, anger is actually a God-given emotion that tells you when a boundary has been crossed. It tells you when injustice has been done, and it tells you if hurt has been sustained. So, for instance, here's an example. The anger of a father whose child has been mistreated is actually a good thing. That's not a bad thing. And anger can range from mild annoyance to intense rage. We know what intense rage is like. If you drive in Sydney streets, you know what it's like. But anger itself is not a sin. It's just how we handle it. And because it's such a strong feeling, and because it affects us physically, there's all this wisdom in the book of Proverbs about how to handle anger so that it doesn't destroy relationships. Here's what actually happens in your system when you're angry. You ready? The brain takes blood away from the digestive system towards the muscles in preparation for physical exertion, which is like the fight mode, right? You get in fight mode. Heart rate and blood pressure and respiration increase. The body temperature rises and skin perspires. The mind becomes sharper and more focused. The hormones adrenaline and noradrenaline are released into your body. And it's exactly the same physical reaction as fear. There's a whole lot of stuff going on in your body when you're angry to try and control. And God knows that. He knows that. So he's given us wisdom. But self-control is such a beautiful fruit of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can give us self-control. You know, in Proverbs 29:11, again, it says, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. You know, scientists have actually studied people who give full vent to their rage. And they've decided after this study that it doesn't actually have any positive effect on the anger itself. And in fact, it doesn't cause the anger to dissipate. It doesn't do anything positive for the anger. So sometimes you think, if I just get it out, I'll be fine. Not necessarily so. You know, recently I had an opportunity to give full vent to my rage and I was seething mad at somebody and I was having that fantasy conversation that you have in your head with the person where you use very eloquent words to basically tear them to shreds, right? Even though I thought I was right in this situation. And I was struggling with this anger. It was overwhelming to me how angry I was. And thankfully, as the Lord would have it, I was preparing this message at the same time. Praise the Lord, hey? And so when I actually went to have the conversation with this person, I said to God, you've got to help me because if I don't have your help, it's all going to come out, God. It's all just going to come out and it's going to cause destruction in this relationship. And it's a very important relationship to me. So God helped me in this conversation to restrain my mouth. And I said so much less than I would have liked. But guess what? At the end, our relationship was good. It was restored. And it's so important that we see our relationships as so valuable, so precious, that we're willing to be quiet when we could speak. We're willing to just hold our anger when we could let it go. You know, here are some practical ways that you can help yourself with anger. Ready? Challenge the thoughts that are triggering the anger. Here we go. Sometimes when you're angry, you're making huge assumptions about what's happening on the other side or what that person has done. For instance, if you get cut off in traffic, who knows what I'm talking about? And you immediately assume that that person is a negligent driver who should be in jail and is endangering the entire Northern Beaches, right? You go there in your head and anger comes out of that assumption. But that might not be the right assumption. Maybe that person is on their way to hospital because they are about to give birth or they've been bitten by a redback spider. I don't know. And that's why they cut you off. It's important to challenge the assumptions that are causing you to be angry. It's important to cool off and wait for all that adrenaline and noradrenaline that's being released into your body to calm down. Sometimes it's getting in a car and going for a drive. Sometimes it's just, I don't know, putting your headphones in and going for a walk and just waiting, not responding straight away. It's so important. You know, the way they described God in the Old Testament was this way. That he was long of nose. Isn't that an interesting description? God was long of nose because in his wisdom and patience, God gives people a long time to change. How good is that? Who knows that God gave you a long time to change? Yes, he's so patient with us. And so we, in turn, because God has been so gracious to us, can have patience for people's mistakes. Patience for the things that people do that just rub us the wrong way. We bear with one another in love. And in that way, we're protecting our relationships. These beautiful, valuable things called relationships. If I could get the keyboarder to come up, that would be great. Keyboardist. Keyboarder. You know, in conclusion, I just want to encourage you, church, that there is wisdom available for you from God. We got to remember that wisdom comes from God in our finances, our relationships, in every area of our life. It's there for us. And the word says in James 1:5, now if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Isn't that beautiful? It's never too late to apply wisdom to your world and to your relationships. Can I just get us to bow our heads? We're just going to pray. And I know there's probably people in this room that are struggling in various areas of relationships. Maybe there is conflict. Maybe there is stuff going on that has been going on for years. But I know that because the word says when you ask God for wisdom, he'll give it to you. That if you yield yourself to the wisdom of God today, those relationships can actually be repaired. They can actually be restored. They can actually be healed. just by using the wisdom that God makes available to us. And maybe you've been someone in the past who hasn't been choosing their friends wisely or choosing their words wisely or handling their emotions wisely. It's never too late, friend, to have wisdom, Lady Wisdom, invited to your table. It's never too late. You can invite her to your table today. So don't worry if you lack wisdom. Just ask God. Are you willing to do life God's way? We have this beautiful opportunity, this invitation to do life God's way. And when we do it His way, let's go back to this scripture right at the beginning. When we do life God's way, happy is the man who finds wisdom and gains understanding. All the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. What a beautiful, beautiful opportunity we have today. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for everyone in this congregation right now. Father, we ask you for wisdom in our relationships. And God, give us the grace to yield to your wisdom, to know that you know all things and we don't, to know that you're a loving Father and you've carved the way, you've carved a path for us in wisdom today, in Jesus' mighty name. Just want to ask as well if there's anyone in the room, just while your heads are still bowed and your eyes are still closed, maybe you're in the room and you've never made a decision to ask Jesus into your life, and I want to give you that opportunity today. This is the wisest thing you could ever do in your life, is to say, Lord, I need you and I don't have you, and I want to make a declaration today and say a prayer today that invites you into my world to be my Lord and Savior, to forgive me of my sin, to wipe the slate clean. So if that's you here right now, and maybe some of this stuff has related to you, or maybe the Holy Spirit's just been talking to you about other things today that are pertinent to your heart. But if that's you here today and you've never made that decision, I want you to just lift your hand and I'll acknowledge it, and we're going to pray together. And as we pray together, this beautiful transaction's going to take place where the Lord's going to become the Lord of your life. So as I look around the room, just quickly lift your hand for me if you're in that category and you want to make that decision today. Beautiful. Okay, can we stand, church? Can we stand one more time? I'm about to hand it over, but I just want to pray for you one more time. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for wisdom. We thank you for the book of Proverbs. We thank you for this incredible guide that you have given us. Lord, I ask you to bless relationships in this building that may be struggling. I ask you to bless relationships in this building that that need reconciling. I ask you to heal relationships in this building as we yield to your wisdom in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen, church.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.